From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are home for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable. Got Monday Night Football versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to talk about it. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We're going to talk this matchup, man, versus the Chiefs. They had a rough week last week. We kind of touched on it last week. I actually watched a lot of that first half, and I went back to double down on what I thought I saw, and I did. And I'm going to bring those points to the table for the stakeholders on what could the Giants do to kind of emulate what Tennessee did defensively versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Easier said than done. It's whether about a matter of execution. I think this is one of those games where the Chiefs looked at the egg. They didn't score a touchdown last week. They're going to try to come back and run up some points, put up some scores. But this offense for the Chiefs, although they can have they could be explosive, we all know that, but they're not the same. They're not as potent as they were the previous two seasons. I don't know why or why that is the case, but we're going to talk about that, man. So we got the matchup. We're going to talk matchup on the field, what we like from our side versus their side and vice versa. Of course, get into the pick'ems this week. We got some good games this week on this NFL week, this Sunday, even starting tonight. Packers and Cardinals, which is one of the games in the pick'ems as well for the confidence picks. So we gotta get this going, man. I'm going to talk matchups. We're going to talk Giants. We're going to talk Chiefs. I got questions, so stakeholders be prepared to answer. And please, by all means, please bring questions to the round table as well, because you ask the stakeholders as well as far as what is on your mind as well. So let's talk about it, man. Let's get a roll call going, get people on. Let's start off with the C-Notes. At the C-Notes, man. Carl, what's going on? How you doing? Matchup versus the Chiefs. Say hello to the people. How you doing? We'll lead off with you, man. How's everything?
To everybody else. Whoops. Oh, there we go. A pleasant good evening to you, Steve, and a pleasant good evening to everybody else as well.
Cool, man. Good evening. Got questions. I'm pretty sure you got questions as well. I mean, it's not a tall – it's a tall task, but it's not impossible. But when there is a will, there's a way. We'll talk about it this week as well. All right, let's go to D-Banks at the Frontliners. Banks, what's going on, man? How you doing? Say hello to the people, sir.
Hey, what's good, family? I hope everyone's doing well. Hey, Monday Night Football, man. Looking for a win.
Actually, what we'll do, before we even jump into the football, I'm going to come back to you first, Bakes, because I know you got announcements. I see it all over, the social media, and definitely get that out. Before, let's get the roll call on first. Billy Bob, what's going on, man? How you doing, sir?
Man, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Good evening. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good talk. All right.
All right, cool. I got more people coming on. But before we go to call, Bakes, go ahead. Take your time, bro. I'm going to go on mute. You know, you got the annual tailgate. I was sharing the flyer, different social media platforms, retweeted it, shared it on the books, things like that. But take your time, man. What you got lined up, man? I'll let you break it down, bro.
So we all know that last year with COVID wasn't any tailgating for the most part, wasn't any fans in the seats and stands, so we couldn't do anything. So this year, we're bringing it back. We were to be in L.A. last year, so we are going to be in L.A. this year, December 12th, for the Chargers game. So it's going to be the blue, big blue takeover, the L.A. edition. So our plans are fastly in works. We send out the TBD teaser flyer this week, and getting a lot of good responses back. People are excited, a lot of feedback, and so we'll have some more information coming to you very soon. So we're excited about that. Of course, we're going to do a meet and greet We're going to do a meet and greet. We're going to do a volunteer effort that Saturday morning and some fun activities for Saturday and, of course, the tailgate and the game that Sunday. So we're very excited. Everyone is excited. They're getting a lot of feedback throughout social media about folks wanting to come and want to help. And so stay tuned for more information. So the frontliners with Big Blue, with the Bleed Blue Show and Big Blue Arizona, you know, and all the other groups, we're going to coordinate and have another fun one. So we're looking forward to it.
I got one question for most of the people that would probably would ask, because I saw people saw the flyer, right? If they wanted more information, would it go to the Frontliners Facebook page and send a message there, or go to the Instagram and slide in the DMs there? Where would you recommend if people have questions? Because I've seen a lot of follow-up.
Either or, they're linked, so I'll get the messages there. I just ask folks to please be patient. We're still coordinating to get more information out. We just wanted to let them know that it's happening. So we haven't finalized all the details, but we're looking to finalize by Friday of next week to make sure we have everything. So I have boots on the ground out there in L.A. Big Sean from L.A. is working with us, and we're trying to coordinate and get everything nailed down so we can give more information. So, folks, please be patient. I know everyone's excited. It's a little over a month, probably about, you know, 6 to 8 weeks away, and we're going to get it all set for you guys. You know how we do. If you've been to a Frontliner tailgate, you know what to expect. It's going to be the same, probably a little bit more since we got a double up since we missed last year. So I know everyone's excited, but that gives us a chance to get everything out there. We just wanted to get the word out there so folks know.
Okay, cool. So you heard the man, that's D-Bakes from the Frontliners, the Capitan of the Frontliners. NYG Frontliners, Frontliners NYG. If you got any questions and FAQs, definitely hit up the Frontliners on Facebook, the fan page, or in the messages as well, man. Let's talk Kansas City, Carl. Listen, man, you know, Kansas City, I think a lot of people thought they were going to come out guns a-blazing, talking about 15-1. But I watched them, I haven't watched them every week, but I did watch them versus Buffalo on Sunday night. I watched them, especially in that first half. And it's the Buffalo defense and Tennessee really beat them up, especially in the trenches. And I think Kansas City's been getting away with some of these games with their, you know, I would call it a piecemeal line, but their offensive line is kind of new. And some games, it shows. And I think if the Giants come with, and it's a big if, if they come out with the attitude, we're going to control the trenches. I think, you know, this game is not as cut and dry as people may think. I mean, I'm pretty sure the spread is high right now. But I'm not saying we're going to win. But I think there's got to be certain things that the Giants need to do to actually have a chance. What are your thoughts on this matchup? And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And then we'll go right down the line, man.
So the line for this game before last Sunday's game was played was 13, and it's come down as of right now to 10 points, probably a reaction to what folks saw, particularly on the Kansas City offensive line and on the defense. I mean, the defense has been poor all year, but it really, really showed itself on Sunday against Tennessee in that game. You know, I had heard the sort of, and I'm trying to see how I can word this, I guess chatter for months about how the Chiefs were just going to, you know, take over the AFC and just dominate. And I remember thinking after they lost that Super Bowl, I said, you know, it's going to be really hard the third time around to basically, well, actually, you know what, fourth time around, because they went to the championship game in 18, Super Bowl in 19, Super Bowl in 20. Like, attrition after a while does begin to take and play a role insert some of these teams. You it's just hard to just keep going back to the well every single year, no matter how good you are. And this year, the defense has not been improved. And then on top of that, the changes that they made on the offensive line have not made a big enough difference to allow them to dominate in the way that they've had before. So those two things are in play. But the one thing that I took away from the game on Sunday and also a couple of games that they had the week before, and I saw this week in a stat, the Chiefs this season have been played on when they've been on offense, teams have been using two safeties deep 365 times this season, which is 100 more than the next highest team. And I thought about that for a second. I said, wait a second. That was the exact same game plan that was used against them in the Super Bowl. If you remember, Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay, after having played them the first time earlier in that season when they were getting beat deep by Tyreek Hill, came up with a game plan that said, you know what? We are not going to allow the Kansas City Chiefs to get down the field 30 and 40 yards and beat us deep. If you are going to score, you are going to have to take the long way up the field. It's going to have to take 8 to 10 to 12 plays. You are not going to get deep. And we believe that at a certain point, the Chiefs will either A, have a negative play, B, have a sack, or C, have a turnover. If our defensive line can get pressure on the Chiefs' offensive line, which in that Super Bowl was poor, and as we've seen this season, is average to below average. And so all that has really happened is that with that in play, that's, they're basically using the Patrick Graham system, for those that are not aware of what that is, okay? the off coverage, the playing deep, bringing the long field, that's exactly what the Giants have been playing this season and last season. For the Chiefs, though, it's been working against them because the Chiefs have had a lot of turnovers. You know, and the times when the Chiefs have been actually moving the ball, they've been stopped by fumbles with the running back. I think in the Raven game, that's one way they lost the game. They fumbled the ball when they were going to win. And then some of the, you know, incredibly fluky interceptions that have happened. You know, Mahomes trying to do whatever it is he's trying to do, and the ball that, you know, just whatever he's trying to do to make a play, and unfortunately becomes a turnover. And so that has been the formula to really slow the Chiefs down. Now, how the Giants can play this is, I mean, essentially the game's going to be won by the three or four guys up front between Lawrence, Ojulari, Williams, and Austin Johnson, and fill in the blank. If those guys get pressure, I'll tell you the Giants have a very good chance to keep the game competitive. I won't use the word win, but keep the game competitive. If the answer to that is no, then what's going to happen is the Chiefs will, in fact, sort of bleed the game to death. They may not score 30 points, but they'll score just enough to where they'll be in firm control of the game throughout. But it all comes down to the defensive line and getting pressure. Tampa Bay did it in the Super Bowl. Tennessee did it last week. You've seen it this season against the Chiefs, and that's really the game plan to beat to either beat or just keep the game close against the Chiefs on Monday night. There really is no other way around it. You're not going to do it any other way. You're not going to play aggressive with their receivers. You're not doing any of that because if you miss Tyreek Hill off the line, he's gone. So that's out the window. So you're going to have to hope that the Chiefs, when they're going the long field, make a mistake and then take advantage of that.
Right on. Shout outs to no, Carl, question. You had a question for Bakes and Billy Bob and stakeholders behind for Monday night's game.
Yeah. You know, I know last week's game was a sort of a mishmash offensive game. Like, there wasn't really any structure to how the Giants played on offense. They just sort of had, like, five plays, and they were successful. I'm trying to see how I can word this. The offense. All right, let me ask you this way. The offensive line on Sunday was shitty. How can we game plan around that shitty offensive line based on how they played on Sunday and try to make a representative offensive game 2 weeks in a row? Because I'm very concerned that if they repeat that exact same performance again, that the results will not be the same because they're not facing a team like Carolina this week.
All right, let's go to Biggs on that. That's a very good question on our own line. Basically, if you got an answer for Carl, how do you see this week's matchup versus the Chiefs?
Well, first to address Carl's question, I think the scheme to run, and they've been kind of doing it throughout the year, and it's a combination of two things, but one thing needs to work. It's misdirection with the you know, the replay option that he's been executing quite well, but he caught that hit 2 weeks ago, and we don't want to see that. He has to learn to slide or get down quicker in those instances. That helps with a shitty line, which we have. Also, running the play action, but to run the play action, you need to be able to run and you need to have a decent line. So that's kind of a catch-22. It's another way to scheme around the line. And one of my favorite that I see teams do all the time is move the pocket. Have the quarterback roll out and things like that, instead of trying to do those little bubble screens that they sniff out all the time, or the delay screens, do that. And, I think those would be some options to, mitigate the deficiencies of the line. I don't think Kansas City's defense is that great, that where that should be an issue. They don't, that shouldn't be a huge concern. I think with them flailing like they are, and they've exposed their weaknesses with that, their offensive line is weak, and, they're giving up the ball a lot. It leaves us for opportunities. We can make plays in the secondary if we get some pressure, if we can get the pressure we got last week on a consistent basis and disrupt the timing of their play, because they're a very fast team and they score in bunches. But we need to eliminate the big plays, and I think the defense is coming on. I read somewhere where they were talking about you got to give the young players a time to grow up in the system, and it looks like Ojulari has finally grown up. He's been impactful this season, and Big Cat has his spots, and I think they're growing and better. Usually the defense comes on a lot earlier, but for some reason they've come on late. They haven't had much injuries like the offense did, but they have to come on and keep playing in the unit, because we have some good receivers, defensive backs on the edges. Questionable safety, and now with Jabril out, that's going to be an issue, because I don't have that much confidence in Love. I feel like he's always out of position. But I think, like Carl said, the two deep safety is to limit the big plays. That's usually where they hit you. They have a great running game as well, but they really hit you with those big plays over the top that really break your back and breaks the soul of a defense. I think if we can be consistent, we'll have a shot, and if we generate turnovers, but we have to capitalize on offense. And we're so riddled with injury, but we should have enough players. They said, I think Engram and Shepard might be back. So hopefully that'll help the offense. It would have been great to have Kadarius Toney, but it doesn't look like he'll be back. Saquon's going to be out for a while. But if the offense is going to really have to score this game, this cannot be a field goal game unless the defense is really – like being dominant, but they have to be dominant for 90 minutes, and we know that might not be the case, and Kansas City can really score. So even though you can hold them down for a half, they can still drop 30 and a half. So it's going to be key for both sides to be evenly matched on offense and defense, and then if the defense generate opportunities, the offense has to capitalize, and not just with field goal. So I think we have a chance. We have a good chance of where they're playing. This year, we have a good chance. So we'll see what happens, but I'm personally looking for a win.
All right. Now, Biggs, do you have a question as well on top of Carl's question? We could go to Billy Bob with that.
I guess my question would be for the offense. What would the offense have to do to be able to score, 25-plus points? In this game, it's going to be essential that we score early and often. What kind of scheme should the offense run against Kansas City to be effective and score in the red zone?
All right, cool. Billy Bob.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
You can hear me? Yeah, hear me? All right. I'm not gonna keep dressing the same thing over and over, because y'all already know me how I feel about the offensive coordinator and all that. But I'm gonna make it real quick about the offense. I see what I wanna say is, I want everybody to understand the offensive line to me, has been a big improvement to me. I'm not saying, what I'm trying to say is they block. They may not, when they, I noticed they block moving the pile because I don't think we have a creative enough running back or a good running back to do what they can do. But I'm noticing that these boys are blocking. They even are blocking in the passing game. So I can't see where everybody, if anybody coming up with any negative about the offensive line, I don't see no problem with the offensive line. I'm not saying they good. I'm not saying, I'm going to put it like this here, they average. I'm not saying they're above average, they underneath average, but they just at average to me. Because I watch these boys block. I just see a lot of the running backs just running them, running straight into the back of them. Like, creative. That's what we need some running backs that are creative. But as far as that, if you're looking for more, it's like we said, Daniel Jones gonna have to use his legs more, be creative enough like that. We need more. You need to have more personality to his offense. I mean, to his creativeness. And then I'm starting to think too, even though with the routes these receivers are running, even though I know it's dull, these wide receivers have to be more effective in their route running because their route running look kind of sloppy and lazy, look off balance. Because I might be putting a lot of pressure on Jason Garrett, but some of these routes running, I'd be like, come on, we need some, like, I don't even want to say his name because I don't even want to hear the dog. But when I see his route running, it's disgusting. Even when it's in the red zone, it's disgusting. It's like that one play action that he had in the Carolina game, it was like it was a delay, and then he was supposed to go out. But it was like, bro, you didn't even do a good enough job for Daniel Jones to even hit you on that one play. So I'm done with the offensive talk, but that's what it is. But I want to get on my defense. Like I said, I've seen some improvement. I don't know if they caught it or they seen it when they got Donnell Holmes out there at that cornerback slot when they took Love out, because that was a good thing to do. But, hey, listen, see they need to do? How about they try this? Since we missed it, Jarrell Peppers, how about you move Adoree' Jackson to the safety position? Where's Sam Bill? I need to see him. I mean, we got to talk about young guys. Get Sam Bill out there. And then you can, or matter of fact, let me take that back. How about y'all put Love back at cornerback? Because he kind of played that kind of good last year. Let's not play around. Love played cornerback good last year. Get Donnell Holmes at the slot cornerback because he was very good. He's a ball. He's an on-ball player. He knows how to play the ball. That's why I think you kind of seen them in a punt return before even Jabril Pepper got up. It's now they starting to see these person. Now they starting to want to use their personnel. Use these guys, man. I mean, down that hole, he's a solid corner for me. And I don't even think last week. I mean, I want to say our defense played good, but let's put it like this here: Carolina didn't even have a running game. So that's why I said, big kudos go out to that DB, the DB back there, because they played a hell of a game. Just to see Bradberry get an interception. Because look at it. Carolina didn't even have a running game. All we had to do was just sit back and rush. And even with that, I don't even think we was that good. We were good. As a matter of fact, we was good because we had no 3 points. They did their job. Some more of these young guys out there, like Donnell Holmes, he need to get more out there because I don't, what I'm seeing, because if you've seen it, that's the same thing Tennessee did to them. They played, because I know Tennessee got a good front defensive line. It's good, above average. Probably looking good, probably looking better than a lot of people. Might be looking better than Washington. But if you look what they did in their secondary, them boys played some good DB secondary. So that's why you're going to see a lot of our boys out there. And I'm starting to see a lot of these people come out there with a lot of sets because they said, if you're looking at what Kyler Murray and all these boys doing, they're coming out with empty sets because they know half of these teams don't even have a lot of these DBs to play these type of defense. So that's why I'm like, Giants spent a lot of these draft picks on all these DBs. Please use them. I'm to the point where I'm on defense. I'm standing on my defense. I said defense played good. They've been playing good all this year. Again, never hear me hate on the defense. I just need to see more from the offense, and then y'all will see an excellent defense. If offense can't put points on the board, we just wasting our time because, like I said, defense can only hold up but for so long. And they did. Like, you can even say it in the Rams game. They held up for so they even they held their part up in the first quarter. Offense wasn't helping them. But that's all I got for y'all. But if they can figure out a way to get these boys in, these young, I'm happy to see Donnell Holmes out there because it's good to see these type of stuff. But that's all I got for you for now.
Okay. Shout outs to Billy Bob. All right, let me take a crack at some of these questions from Carl about the two, about the Giants offensive line. What do they need to do? I think, first of all, the Matt Pert experiment at left tackle, he's a big frame. I think you could probably have some surprises for the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line and really try to run the control at the line. If you look at the stretch plays that they run towards Matt Pert's side, he does a decent job. It's just when they try to get cute with the screens, it's not coachable. I was thinking not coachable. It's not quite there yet as far as trying to get out in space to make, whether it's a wide receiver coming off a screen or a running back making the catch, whatever. I think they got to be pretty much old school and run the rock as best as they can with Booker. I mean, Booker is not a guy who's going to give you a home run, a big game, so you're going to have to play control the clock, kind of like what Tennessee did last week. Even though we know that Derrick Henry is a way more better running back than anything we got currently on the roster healthy, we got to play ball control. I mean, this is the type of game we look at it kind of like in the Super Bowl, Bills versus Giants. Like, you got to try to eat up clock. The Giants have done an okay job with time of possession in certain games, like the Falcon game, a little bit in the Carolina game in the second half. But you got to find a way to establish the run, 3-yard game, 4-yard game. And the Giants have got to not have turnovers. I mean, not turnovers, penalties, you know, false starts, delay a game, shit like that. Carl, we had this kind of little bit of this discussion before the New Orleans game, and I thought they did okay as far as handling the crowd noise in the Superdome versus the Saints. They're going to have to bring that same type of game mentality on the road in Kansas City, whereas it's a loud stadium. It's kind of like college-like. As far as the offensive line, hey, man, they just got to run the ball. And I think Daniel Jones, as far as protecting the football, has done a decent job. Decent job. Not great, but decent job. Better than what we've, used to. You know, when he loses the football, it seems like it's because of a tackle misassignment, or he just can't sustain the edge, and he gets, blindsided and things like that. But he's going to have to be full alert, man. I don't think this is the game. Or no, this definitely is not the game where he fumbles the ball and we cough up a turnover. We can't have no turnovers in this game. You can't outscore this team. You can't outgun this team. This offense just can't keep up with their offense. It is what it is. To be honest with you, Bakes, to answer your question, listen, man, I don't know, man. If we're like getting across 50-yard line and we're like, let's say, the 35-yard line, I think we're going to have to probably take our shot at the end zone, man, because the Giants, to me, within the 20s are god-awful in the red zone. Listen, we're going to have to get Slayton the rock. I'm thinking about somebody like Pettis. You saw, made a couple of catches, try to move the chains, things like that. Well, I ain't going to say his name because I don't want to hear the dog bark, but either him or Rudolph are going to have to make catches and get a couple of yaks, maybe 3-4 yards after the catch, make, third and short situations, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. No turnovers, no false starts, because, I think we all know this as Giant fans. Once there's a penalty on the drive, it is a wrap for that drive, meaning it's pretty much going to not go nowhere. They don't recover from penalties all too well. But I do think there is something there against that Kansas City front, though, honestly, after watching a little bit what Tennessee did to them, or, defensive line. I think we're going to need another big performance, Ojulari, and I think Leonard Williams is going to show up. Now, that's just only going to keep us in the game, though. That's just going to keep us in the game. Got to beat up on the Joe Turneys and the Orlando Browns on that left side of the line. The reason why they get away with so much with that piecemeal line, because Patrick Mahomes is mobile enough of a quarterback to get out of the pocket and make improvised throws on the run, whether it's sidearm, left-handed. He knows where Kelsey's going to be because they do the read option, and that's going to be another issue. Nobody brought up, like, that's a Dre Graham special point right there as far as defending tight ends. We're going to have a long night, but that's all right, because as long as we don't get beat over the top, like Carl said, with two safeties deep, it's going to be a bend but don't break defensive game. It's going to be all zone, and that's something Lady Blue's just going to have to accept, because man on man, we're not covering Tyreek Hill. That's just not going to happen. Carl, but I think I have a question for you, sir, and this goes back to Billy Bob's point, and shout-outs to Billy Bob for actually giving me a little bit of leeway to this question. The musical chairs in the secondary, what is our best personnel? Who goes where for this particular game? For instance, if there's no Jabril Peppers, who goes to strong safety? Who goes back there as a two-deep safety? Who's the other corner? Like, which corners would you rather see a Dory Jackson, some between some sort of safety / corner back position? Like, how would you based off what we currently have right now, which corners go where? And how would you schematically play them on Monday night?
Well, I don't think you can do the Bradbury just cover Tyreek Hill all night thing. I'm not. I think it's a terrible matchup on its own because if you've noticed, Bradbury has had a problem this season with shifty receivers. You know, whether it be early in the season, I think it was Jerry Jeudy against him. Then it was McLaurin, Calvin Ridley a little bit in that Atlanta game. Then you sort of fast forward, you know, the next two games after that. Against the Saints and the Cowboys, it wasn't a big factor. He actually just got beat deep in both of those games. And I thought if a better quarterback existed last week, that DJ Moore could have had a more effective game. So I think in this particular role, I think you're just going to have to say, which side do you want Bradbury to be on? And then look at how the Chiefs run their offense and then make a decision. Okay, if they like to game plan, you know, if the Chiefs use, let's just say, the right side of the field 60% of the time or 65% of the time, and they could probably look this up over the course of the season, what the Chiefs, you know, what part of the field that they like to stretch out and which, you know, whether it be left side or right side, and just position Bradbury on one side, on that side of the field. Adoree Jackson's obviously going to take the other side with Ryan and McKinney being the safeties, and then Holmes essentially being your slot guy. With Peppers out, you know, this would not be the ideal matchup really for Peppers anyway, if you think about it, because if you're saying Peppers can't be used really in pass coverage, well, the only matchup that would have existed for him this week would have been to cover Travis Kelce. And we all know that would have been a bad matchup on its own. So from that standpoint, they really don't lose anything with him not playing this particular game. Last week, the Carolina didn't have the requisite weapon, so Peppers could be a bigger factor in the game. But this week, it's a little bit different because of the passing options that the Chiefs have. I think those probably are your five right there. And then I think what you're probably looking at is probably more of a 3-3-5 type of setup most of the game this week in terms of how you would structure the defense. Those five guys would probably take up about anywhere between 85 and 90% of the snaps, and just cross your fingers that you don't get any type of injury. I have to check this. Has Sam Beal even played this season? I don't think he's injured. Julian Love, I feel like he's just been another guy this season. You know, he's been on the team now. This is his third season. I don't feel as if he's making a sustainable impact where we can say, listen, you know, get him on the field 80% of the time. I could be missing it. Maybe somebody else could chime in on that. But he's going to have to obviously be a part of this game because of just the pure numbers. But if those six guys are going to have to be out there, then those are really the six guys you're just going to have to rely on.
All right. Basically, anything else you'd like to add on top of, you know, my question as far as who would you like to go where as far as who you would rather be on the outside, whether if you want to play man or zone, or having, you know, which safeties you would like to have back there? I know you mentioned about Love's lack of performance, but anything else you would like to add on top of that? Because I think that was a good point by Billy Bob, like schematically, what could we do to actually make things, you know, keep us in the game?
Well, I don't think we should play man. I mean, not – I think we should
keep them guessing. Let's put it that way. I think they have too much speed on the outside and playmaking ability on the inside to do man. If we had somebody big and they could cover, that could cover Kelce, I would say lock that guy up in man, but we don't have that. but we have to zone and then blitz, and then, you know, we got to get the ball out and disrupt their timing. Bradbury's been up and down, but he's made plays. Adoree Jackson just, I don't know if he's not catching on to the scheme or the play, or he's having, you know, he just, I'm not impressed by most of what I'm seeing from him this season. But I know he's adjusting to a new team, a new offense, but what, we're 7 weeks in, so it's time to really put up a shut up. But in terms of zone, I think he should mix it up. Graham should definitely mix it up and try to keep Mahomes off balanced. But I don't think we should just go straight up man. I think that gotta be bad because we don't have the consistent pass rush to, you know, to alleviate that pressure. You can only man up for like maybe 7 to 8 seconds, you know. You can't hold it for too long. But if they can, you know, on certain design blitzes, you could get after it. You know, send some more and man up, you know, maybe on third and long or something like that. You know, third and really long. Because we can't allow them to make big plays. Love, I'm confused by Love. I guess he better at corner. To me, he just takes bad angles at safety from the Rams game. He just looked like he was always late to the ball, or I don't know if he was getting looked off by the quarterback, but he always seemed late to the ball and taking a bad angle, even after the catch.
Okay. Let me see. Now, what about one more question for me to you, Bakes, as far as Leonard Williams. And I think Lil Williams could really play a lot of pressure. And I think up the middle between the guards, oh, he dropped. So I'll throw this question at Billy Bob until Bakes comes back. So Leonard Williams in this game, Billy Bob, to come up the middle to make, you know, to collapse the pocket per se and get Mahomes on the, you know, maybe try to get him outside of the tackles. Then who picks up the slack behind him on the defensive line for you or even the linebackers, whether they're in pass coverage and this is the game you're going to have to wrap and make clean tackles? Billy Bob, like defensively, what is you, if you're Patrick Graham, what are you doing to really make it as uncomfortable as you can make it with the personnel you have? As you said, play know your personnel.
Hello? Okay. Hey, listen. I'm going to answer that question real quick. But, hey, Carl, let me tell you something, Carl. Let's not act like Jabril Peppers ain't our best cover linebacker. He's a safety, a scoring safety playing linebacker. He should be playing linebacker, really. So having him, we're going to miss a part of that. Now, as far as Leonard Williams, the Giants are going to have to do a good job of rotating him on that line. I know he could be strong. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that you may not even need Leonard Williams in the middle to collapse the middle, because I don't even think Kansas City is going to run the ball. So you might need Leonard Williams on the outside where he probably could be effective. Try to get him on a one-on-one, because if he's in the middle, he's getting a double team. And then if he's getting double team, I mean, that's if you're asking a rookie. Now you're asking a lot from the rookie. Even though the rookie's having a good year. I don't want to put my high hopes on that. But let's be real. This is not like we ain't got Lorenzo Carter. I don't know if he hurt, but he need to step up. If you're looking for somebody to step up, he need to get out there and step up. I can't ask him more from Dexter Lawrence. I mean, it is what it is with Dexter Lawrence. That's what you're going to get. When I look at our defensive line, we don't have depth. Just think about it. I'm really thinking about it. We don't have depth at defensive line and linebacker position. So what I'm trying to say is, and I just thought about that, I said put Love at safety. Put Adoree at a safety so he could see the game from a different perspective, a different view. But I just thought about it. We got Logan Ryan, so we do have a safety. And I forgot about Xavier,
what's his name? My bad. Kenny Xavier. I'm saying his name right. We got safety back then. So I'm not even worried about I thought that was a problem with safety, but it's not. It's more like you said, where's Sam Beal? He's on the roster. I don't know why he's not getting playing time. I looked to see where was Robinson, but he's on injury reserve. But we got more players. Number 31, Carson, I think his name is. There's plenty more players they can throw out there to play. But as far as that defense, find a way to get Leonard Williams on one-on-one, because we're running out of a 3-4, and I hate that 3-4 because we should be in a 4-3. And when you're in a 3-4, you're going to get double-teamed. It's very easy to recognize X-Factor on a 3-4 unless you got somebody like we talked from the Rams, man, but listen, we have to find a way to get this man on one-on-one. That's what Patrick Graham will have to figure that out. He's going to have to figure that out. And it would have been nice to have Jabril Peppers just to throw out blitzes, because that's what he did last week. He was in a linebacker position or blitzing, and he got him a sack. So Patrick Graham, figure out how to send some blitz. You got to send some more blitz, because the way we're working, if we think we're going to stick like we did in the Carolina game, we definitely gonna get picked apart. And I'm really relying on my defense, because I don't know when I'm gonna get to my offense. But if the Giants want to win this Monday night game, they have to start the secondary, because that's all Kansas City got. The league has catching up. Like you know how like basketball, they caught up with the 3-pointers with the Warriors. Yes, NFL have caught up with Kansas City. No different if it was the Rams when they was high power, everybody get caught up with it. This is a copycat league. You're going to stop it. You're going to find a way to stop it. So, yes, we have the personnel back there to do what we have to do. I ain't saying they're going to do a good job, but just do a decent enough job to get these boys off the field. And they do it. My defense. I'm going to say my defense. All year they've been creating turnovers. The offense has not been helping them. They even gave us 2 points last week. What do y'all want from my defense? I just need them to play a solid game. That's all I want from them.
You know, Billy Bob, I wish this is one of those games where we had all of our top guys versus their defense is a little bit softer for sure. Statistically, they kind of got in the way with Steve Spagnuolo over the last couple of years, but no Galladay, no Barkley, no Tony. You know, I would have loved to see them versus the back end of this defense in this particular game, whether you get, you know, you put Barkley on the outside, give him some touches, Tony, you know, the way he can make the catch and make a cut, make guys miss, in the big body of Galladay making physical catches. This would have been the perfect matchup versus that defense to at least try to put points on the board, man. You know, we're not going to be able to get to see that because those guys are hurt. Now, on the Kansas City side, I do think their running game did take – say what? You about to say something?
No, you can't say that. See, the reason why I'm saying that, because you said something about number 13, our wide receiver, and then you got Darius Slayton. These are all players that came back from last year. They know this offense. This is why I can't let this offense off the hook. These are people that have been in this offense. That's why I'm thinking, I'm like, come on, this is Garrett, get together. Even with these type of players, the players they got now, they good enough to go win this game. I know we don't got our top guys, but they good enough to win this game. But listen, I act like Darius Slayton ain't been doing his thing. I mean,
oh, no, no,
yeah,
no.
He made a
drop from
far.
That's not my point. No, that's not my point. I understand what you're saying. If this crop of guys who are active for this game, they know the offense, yeah, they'll make it interesting if they do their job and make plays, don't make drop stuff like that. All I'm saying is, it's only a what if, had we had a healthy Barkley, what if we had a healthy Galladay, what if we had a healthy Tony on top of what we already have. That's the way I'm looking at it. But I get what you're saying as far as what we currently have. If they guys do their job, if they make their catches, you know, no stupid penalties and no stupid drives, and I think they can make it interesting. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they got to make it really ugly. The Giants have to play ugly like they did last week versus Carolina. You know what I'm saying, Billy Bob?
I actually do know what you mean, but see how this is a good way to just lead yourself into, like, this is what Carl been talking about. The people you just named are blockbusters.
He's a blockbuster. Yeah, you're right. It's a good analogy.
The people you want to see, they are blockbusters. And I don't want to talk like this here,
Billy Bob, wait, we got to slow down. Wait a minute. Your boy Tony is Blobbers? I thought he would be Netflix, man.
No, not my boy Tony. I said, you know who Carl said. You know the player that Carl put out that he hurt. No, put Tony out there. No, I'm with Tony. I'm in still Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, because if this is a game, you could put Tony in the backfield, put Barkley at, split him out in the flanker. But now we don't have that, man. So you got to run with what we got, man. Oh, but yeah, let me say this other point, and if you get into the picks. Edwards-Helaire, who got hurt in the Buffalo game, and this is where I think when Billy Bob says the league caught up with the Chiefs, it ain't just, defending them. It's free agency kind of, I think, took a little bit of away from that, meaning I think they lost a little bit with, outside of Tyreek Hill, relying on Mecole Hardman and Robinson. Sammy Watkins, who went on to Baltimore, Sammy Watkins was a very good route runner that really, really opened up things for that offense for that 2-3 year span. I don't think they had that like that. I think you watched the Browns game when they played them. Yeah, I know they got Myles Garrett, and that's a big difference than what we got. Like, they got guys that could get after the quarterback. Same with the Chargers with Joey Bosa. So it seems like the common theme that these teams with aggressive, rugged defenses, Tennessee, really made things uncomfortable with the offensive line for Kansas City, and they didn't really need to send the extra guy to blitz. And I think the Giants somehow get a one-on-one matchup with Leonard Williams and Ojulari. If you saw what he did, kind of build off of that game, they can make things a little interesting. But it's a really tall task because you still got to defend Kelce. I know that Darrell Williams is a decent running back. Now, Carl, I don't know if they're even going to try to unleash the secret weapon in meaning of Josh Gordon, who's been probably probably the most under the radar signing as far as coming off his, rehab and how the potential, and this is one of those things, like, he's been probably reading the playbook. They may try to slip him in and the Giants may not see his coming. So watch out. They might do that as far as try to optimize their offense, maybe get plays for, put them in there and see what they're going to do. But outside of that, man, we could get into the picks. Like I said, Pettis, Slayton, and those tight ends of ours, they got to play a perfect game. Everybody's got to play a perfect game. Gano's going to have to make his kicks. They're probably going to settle for field goals if they can't get past the 20s. They're just going to have to take shots with Slayton down the field and see if they could get any action against those cornerbacks, whether it's Mike Hughes or Ward. And then, we got the Honey Badger out there. He's going to make plays. He's probably going to be attacking the line, making tackles. So it's going to be interesting from that standpoint. All right, we got these four games. Let's get to the picks, and then we can get final thoughts after that. We got tonight's game is going to be a very good one, but I think the Cardinals are going to win. But Packers at Cardinals, Titans at Colts, Cowboys at Vikings, then Giants at Chiefs. So I'll read it again one more time so you guys can get ready for your picks. And Carl and myself, we have Survivor as well. Packers at Cardinals. Titans at Colts. Cowboys at Vikings. And Giants at Chiefs. And Carl, if you know who you need to pick for the Survivor, let me know. If you don't know who to pick, I got who you already picked. And I already made my pick for my Survivor. We might have a push. We'll see. But let's go ahead and cue up the tunes. Carl, who you got for this week's confidence picks?
Let's see. So I don't know if Dak is going to play on Sunday. So that is gonna that's gonna impact this a little bit. So you know what? I'm gonna adjust here. Give me you know what? Let me take Arizona with 4 tonight. Let's go the Chiefs with 3. Let's go the Colts with 2. And I'm going to say the Cowboys with 1.
I don't know the issue with Dak yet. The point spread, which started off as 2.5 on Tuesday, now has the Cowboys as underdogs as of right now, which leads me to believe that there is some speculation that he is not going to play on Sunday.
All right. Now, do you have a survivor as well for this week?
Actually, I don't. Who have I used so far? I used the Patriots last week, I think.
You did? And they survived? They walloped the Jets.
Have I used Buffalo
yet?
So you
can't use the Jets? No, you did not.
Let me use them.
All right, he's going with the Buffalo Bills. All right, let's get the Bakes. Let's see. Bakes, I'll give you the games again. We got Packers at Cardinals. Titans at Colts. Cowboys at Vikings. And Giants at Chiefs.
This week I got them, Steve. I'm prepared. So give me Cardinals tonight 4. Titans, Colts, that's a tough one. Give me Colts 2. I hate that this one's going to make me throw up in my mouth. Give me Boys 3. And I'm going to roll with my Giants 1.
All right. Let's see. Billy Bob, who you got on the picks?
Listen, I don't know what my record on these picks, but starting today, I'm going to make this comeback on everybody's picks. So listen, this is how it's going to go. Giants 4, right? Look at the Giants 4. I got Vikings with 3. I got the Titans with 2. And I got, Green Bay with 1. That's because I'm trying to catch y'all 2, right? Y'all 2 in the lead, right? Yeah. I need to catch Carl and Steve. I got Green Bay.
Carl's in the lead, and I think Chris might be behind him and Lady Blue.
Okay.
I see why you did what you did. So, Hail Mary. I get it. I get it. All right, let me give you guys my...
I'm going to start a comeback.
Man, I mean, you never know, man. You never know. All right, here we go. My picks. Chiefs at 4. Cardinals at 3. Cowboys at 2, a Titans at 1, and my survivor is the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so that is the picks for this week. We'll get everybody else's picks. I know they've been messaging me for their picks, and we'll wrap it up. So, Carl, you got any final thoughts? So we got the Monday night game, so we'll be on after the game. That's going to be late, man. That's going to be at 11 p.m. Central. Goddamn going on midnight Eastern. But we'll be here to talk about it, rant and rave, how it goes. But anyway, final thoughts from you, sir. And then we get the Bakes, and if he has any additional announcements as well.
Get the coffee ready on Monday night, because, man, we'll be up a long night for that one. Saying goodbye, I think, you know what, as we say goodbye, I think this week could tell us a lot about the progress that we have made, because I don't think – anyone is expecting the Giants to win this game. You know, I think like that game in Seattle last year, nobody expected us to win and we won it. But I think to sort of build off of what happened last week, I think to go into KC and to play a very competitive ball game would say a lot about perhaps, you know, maybe the progression that this team is on, you know, from where they started at 1-5, because my fear is that if they just go in there on Monday night and get waxed, then are we just getting wins here and there, just kind of like, you know, just being tossed, you know, like candy here and there, like Halloween? Are we just getting, you know, little freebies? Because that's the thing that I'm wondering about is, like, show me some progress on Monday. Don't get waxed 30-10. Like, that's not – because then that tells me that last week was basically, you know, Carolina doing dumb stuff and Sam Darnold being bad. Like, the Chiefs are down right now. Show that they're still down and play the game competitively. And maybe you lose by 7 or 10 points, but just don't get waxed.
Right, right. At the C-Notes, man, shout-outs to Carl. Thank you very much, sir. And let's go to Bakes. Any additional news you'd like to share with the annual tailgate, and also your final thoughts and how you're getting ready for the game on Monday night.
Only initial news, Steve, is that we'll be coming with new updated information very soon. Please be patient with us. Mm-hmm. And throughout the game, I'm looking for a win. It might be delusional, but I'm looking for a win. I think the Chiefs are down. They've been playing poorly, and the league has kind of caught up to them. Not that we're at that barometer in the league, but I think there's an opportunity for us to take advantage of it. And we have to learn to kick teams when they're down, like how we did last week. It wasn't ugly, but I'm looking for a win. So with that being said, bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Shout out to the Bakes, man. Thank you very much. Frontliners NYG, NYG Frontliners on Twitter. And Billy Bob, man, Tony is definitely Netflix, man. There's nothing blockbuster about that brother, man. I was about to say.
I forgot that you had added him in there. We know he's Netflix. About more than that. We know all that. But, hey, listen. What you had said earlier, time of possession, that falls on the quarterback. So that's why I always try to resort to, like, when I say pitcher or use the metaphor of pitcher, like an ace, because the pitcher plays defense and he can also help you score. So that's what I'm trying to say. Daniel Jones has to be that 12 man, work that time, and then what I want from Daniel Jones, bro. I hate to say it, but listen, please do better than Tannehill, damn it, because I think. You are he's a way better quarterback than Tannehill. I'm being real. So I'm just telling you, I just need the Giants to go out there and play how they're supposed to play because I don't know what y'all see. I expect the Giants to win because I heard Carl say nobody don't expect the Giants to win. No, I expect the Giants to win. Matter of fact, Giants was expecting for them to win since game one. And I hate to tell y'all this, if the Giants, like, I need to see the Giants win because I think they could turn around the season off this game because if you look at the standings, we're not that far off. And this is what the what? We're in the fifth game? Yeah. So I think Dallas could collapse. I could see Dallas collapse somewhere along the way. Listen, I got high hope. We've been down for so damn long, we should only look up with the damn Giants, y'all. So let me tell y'all, Daniel Jones, to get your act together, I need you to play better than Ryan Tannehill at least. And I think we'll come away with this victory. There's no way to cut around this here, bro, because the Giants, they're not sorry. They got the pay. They got the players. The Chiefs are not the same Chiefs. Figure that out.
Hey, Billy Bob, man, mm-hmm. I am with you that the Chiefs aren't, yeah, Billy Bob, but I gotta give just a little pushback on that one. I'm with you that the Chiefs are not the same Chiefs, but I got to say this, man, about Ryan Tannehill, and it's not necessarily a knock on Tannehill. I mean, he does have Derrick Henry, and he's throwing A.J. Brown. Daniel Jones, I hate to make excuses, but he doesn't have that. It makes it easier for Tannehill, man. And then plus, those guys are familiar with that team. They play each other, it seems like, every year. So they got each other's tape. So, you see what I'm saying, Billy Bob, as far as Tannehill? He has Derrick Henry, and he's throwing at A.J. Brown. We don't have that.
The only reason why I said that, because I would figure that Daniel Jones got way more experience than Tannehill because Tannehill used to play. Remind you, Tannehill used to play for the Dolphins. Remember, I'm telling you this here, bro. So I'm thinking, like, figure this out, Daniel Jones. And that's all I'm asking because when I say these type of things, you got to start looking at all these other quarterbacks that's progressing right now. This is why I'm saying this. I'm talking about Josh Allen, Buffalo, all these young quarterbacks. How you have the guy from Cincinnati doing what he do, and we can't get none of that?
Hey, I see what you're saying. I got you. Okay, hey, fair enough. Now, Joe Burrow, I think he's having a hell of a year. They gave him Ja'Marr Chase. You saw what he did last week versus Baltimore. He also got the other guy, the tight end, is doing work. We ain't got that. Billy Bob, we ain't got, what's his name? Ojala, the tight end. He's killing it, too. We ain't got that, like, out of Evan Ingram.
But I want to hold this conversation with you so long, but you got to understand. We gave Daniel Jones a lot of weapons. It's a simple fact. I know the guy is the injury bug, but that's something that you're going to have to play through that comes with the game. That's like saying,
I get it.
We got to live.
You're right.
We got to live with
Gettleman, we got to live with Gettleman pick for us. So I only can talk about what the team has. I can't go no further than that than what we have. So what I'm trying to tell you, I'm a Giants
fan.
I'm just trying to tell you, Daniel Jones, get it together. I don't. It's to the point where I'm like, damn, Jason Garrett, bro, you already know he's sabotaging your ass already. Just get it together, because like you said. You said the most key important thing to me, time of possession, not only falls on the quarterback's hands. You got to just say, you know what, I got to keep this offense, I got to keep my offense on the field, keep that other quarterback off the field. And believe me,
I think
Tom Brady got a cheat code. The cheat code is Tom Brady is so old that he's playing against nothing but young quarterbacks. So he knows how to beat these young quarterbacks. They got to start elevating this here. Man, oh, my goodness. I'm starting to get pissed. I'm about to take our whole conversation to another level. Sorry about that, Steve. Go ahead, bro.
No, I agree with that. I agree with all of that. Man. Shout out to Carl, D-Bakes, Billy Bob. We'll be on immediately after the game Monday night. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your fantasy football teams. Enjoy Sunday football, college football, all that good stuff. Sangres, ladies and gentlemen, bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.